is right. Turn in your Bible, if you will, Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. Appreciate that. Amen. A lot of those songs we don't sing very often at all. That's one of them that's unfamiliar, really, to me, and probably to you as well, but a beautiful song, and I appreciate that. Amen. And I'm glad what this season's all about is about a Savior. God in flesh. Amen. Come to dwell among us and to bring us salvation. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, we're continuing to deal with this thought about the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. And I think this is the ninth message on this that we looked at. Started last Sunday night, I believe, looking at the first attack there in verse number 3. That's where we're going to be zeroing in again today. I mentioned to you that there's more things to cover than I could cover. And I preached just a short message on that Sunday night and tried to just give you the introduction to it. I'll say more about that in a moment. But let's read these first 11 verses together, and then we'll have prayer and allow you to be seated, and we'll bring the message. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." We'll stop our reading there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the blessings of our life.
Yes. Yes.
Lord, thank you this morning for Jesus. For what you did for us on the cross.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. And speaking to us, have a wonderful day.
Yes.
I want to thank you, Lord, for saving me. That's right.
Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you so much, Lord, for the time that we have to come together. Bless the preacher.
Help us, Lord.
Bless him and give him liberty in the house of God. Say exactly, Lord, everything.
Yep, Lord,
that you
yes.
Said to our hearts and help us receive it this morning. Bless and save sinners, revive and strengthen your people. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Appreciate the Sunday school lesson this morning. I told Brother Bell I don't think that I had considered very much the thought that that ark took the fury of God's wrath that those inside that ark could go free. Amen. That ark had to suffer everything that the unbelievers outside the ark had to suffer. All the fury of the wrath of God. I thank God, as Brother Hall said in his prayer, for what Christ did for you and I that we could be saved. Amen. Amen. In this text, it's a similar story, really. Christ suffering in our stead. He's allowed Satan to come to him and bring him these temptations that he might face what you and I face. That we might see through him there is victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is overcoming power through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we don't have to submit to the onslaught of Satan. We don't have to fall to the darts of Satan, that we can find deliverance and strength when we stand on the Word of God. Amen. And I'm glad that that is so. Well, in our most recent study of this text, as I said, looking at the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, we began to study the first part of Satan's attack. I called it the first attack in the temptation. This would be part two of that because the last message was part one. And I mentioned that I do not believe that this is all the attack that our Lord faced, but rather that these three attempts at our Lord Jesus, and which He withstood, are symbolic or representative of all the temptations that came upon Christ in those 40 days in the wilderness. I believe it's Luke that says, Luke and Mark record this as well as Matthew, and one of them makes the reference that Christ was tempted all 40 of those days. There's a little bit of variance in some of the things they say, not that they're contradicting each other, just that one gives more detail than the other does, and they come together and you can see the entire story. About one of them says that he went and was tempted for those 40 days. Now, here's a thought I want you to think on that I've not introduced previous to this, but I believe this is very likely how that it happened. I want you to think about the fact that our Lord may have been tempted of lesser devils for those 40 days. And when those lesser devils, whatever you want to call them, the imps of Satan, the spirits, the evil spirits that are in the world, when those lesser devils failed to cripple Christ, when those lesser devils failed to conquer Christ, Satan himself made an appearance. That fits in the scripture. You look at verse number 2 and tie that to verse number 3. Let's read it together. Verse number 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then I'll say dot, 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 verse 3, the tempter came to him. It would appear that Satan came to him personally. Satan came to him perhaps in the flesh. I don't think that he appeared in the form of a horned, hoofed, forked-tailed, pitchfork-holding devil. I don't think that's how he appeared. I think he appeared as an angel of light. I think he appeared as a friendly suggestion. Amen. But he comes in person to wage war against our Lord. I'll say it this way. That he might make the battle even hotter. Amen. That he might, as we'd say, ratchet things up. That's how we'd use the phrase. That he might make it a little harder on the Lord when those lesser devils perhaps hadn't accomplished what he had hoped that perhaps they would accomplish. They had failed. And I say that for this cause. I say it for me and you, for our sake. That I think very seldom do you and I actually face Satan himself. Why should he bother showing up when his little devils trip us up so easily? Amen. Why should the general step out on the battlefield when a private can take care of most of the enemy? Right? And so the devil, a lot of what we face are those little imps of Satan, I might say it. Those little emissaries of the devil that come along and seem like trip us up so easily. Then why should the devil bring out the big guns when the little guns get the job done? Amen. He doesn't have to call in the heavy artillery. But it's a blessing to me to know that the little guns didn't work on our Lord, neither did the heavy artillery. Amen. It's encouraging to me to know that although Satan mounted his attack, and I believe he made an all-out effort, including showing up himself to do battle against our Lord, and yet he failed. Amen. We began looking at verse number 3, and I spoke about Satan's big if. That's what I called it. The big if that he proposed to Christ. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. I pointed out that the devil's first attempt at Christ was to cause him to distrust himself and his Father. To cause him to distrust. Satan's grand strategy was to get our Lord, if he could, to doubt God's love and to doubt God's word. It's the exact same temptation that he used on Eve in the garden. Amen. Amen. He comes to our Lord and he says to our Lord, the devil suggests that Christ now has been overcome with hunger. He needs food. And he says, in order to prove your sonship, you ought to perform this miracle. Amen. But if Christ had performed that miracle at the command of Satan, at the suggestion of Satan, he would have been obeying Satan rather than obeying God. Amen. He would then have shown his unbelief in God's words. He would have shown his doubts in God's love. And he would have disobeyed God's plan. God's plan was for him to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. God's plan was for him to live in want and sorrow. Amen. He was not born into luxury and he never lived a life of luxury. Amen. He lived a life of suffering and a life of want. Amen. And I say that is the same snare that Satan thrust out at Eve in the garden. He got her to doubt in God's love. If God really loved you, would he limit what you can have? By the way, children, listen to me. Young people. The devil's not changed his tactics. Young people say, well, Mom and Dad, if you loved me, you wouldn't say I couldn't do that. You wouldn't limit where I go and what I do, how late I stay up, what I watch, what I listen. You wouldn't put limits on me if you really loved me. No, they limit you because they really love you. Amen. One of the reasons, we're living in a animal crazed world. Amen. Brother Moore is telling us that they're looking for houses. Down there around the Ottawa, they found the house that said no more than four dogs, but no more than two people. They don't want your children. You can have dogs, but you can't have children. There are people getting more upset over a dog getting killed than over babies getting killed. Amen. Amen. Where was I going with that thing now? Hang on. Huh? Does anybody know where I was going with that? All right, I'll just stop coming back to my notes then. Amen. I'm not getting old, I'm just getting forgetful. Amen. Oh, I know what it was, the limited. I was thinking about the limiting. If you've got a purebred dog, a dog with papers, I mean a dog that's got a heritage behind it, that, you know what you'll do? You'll tie that dog at night and you'll keep other mongrels away from that dog, not because you don't love the dog, but because you do. Amen. Brother Don Anderson said this years ago, and he's right. We've come to a day when we tie the dog at night and turn the children loose. Amen. And we have come to that day. We've come to the day when we don't want just anything to get with our dog. We want to keep our dog pure. But what about our daughters? Amen. What about our sons? Amen. What are those limits for? Young people, listen. Those limits are for protection. Those limits are because of love. Amen. Amen. I saw a thing just the other day. This is a cartoon thing in the paper. And this boy was trying to get his mama. She had refused to sign to let him bungee jump. And she said to him, let me repeat to you. She said, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you? And he said, no, because you wouldn't sign the release on that either. Amen. Well, he ought to thank God that she wouldn't sign the release on that. Amen. Amen. This temptation saying that if God really loved you, he wouldn't put limits on you. Saying that you can't trust God's word. God's not being totally honest with you when God says the wages of sin is death. The devil says again, hey, you can get by with it. Maybe fools get caught at that, but you're smarter than the average fool and you can get by with it. Friend, I want to remind you the devil's a liar. Amen. He's a liar. Well, I want to move on today from thinking about Satan's big if to looking at a second point here, and I want to look at the temptation to turn stones into bread. This phrase, I underline it, command that these stones be made bread. Command that these stones be made bread. I read something just this morning that I hadn't seen before. And so I looked it up to see if it's true. The Greek word translated command here in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 3 is Strong's number 2036. And I'm not going to try to give you the Greek word, but it means say the word. That's what it means. Say the word. Praise God. God, Jesus was God. He was the Word. All He had to done was say the Word and those stones would have become bread. Amen. Just say the Word. The devil is giving him, saying, if you're the Son of God, you've got that power. You are the Word if you're the Son of God. All you got to do is just give the Word. Say the Word only. Amen. So, I'll say this about the temptation to turn stones into bread. It's very obvious to me that Satan will use any circumstance we find ourselves in to try to cause us to sin. I preached a few weeks ago and dealt with the fact how that many times Satan tempts us to withdraw from other people. And in that loneliness, he tempts us to sin. I'll tell you what else he'll do. When you get with a crowd, he'll tempt you to sin with that crowd. He'll tempt you to go along with the rest of them, as they say. Amen. To try to keep up with them or to try to do better or have a bigger story to tell than they do to get even bigger than that. So he'll use any circumstances, loneliness or in a crowd. The devil's going to do his best to use any circumstance we find ourselves in. And he'll use that, he'll tweak that to put a twist on his temptation. In other words, as we see here, I believe that Satan observed that Christ was now hungry. In his human form, he'd done without food now for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible specifically says in verse number 2, he was afterward and hungered. He grew hungry because of his desire for food, because of his lack of food. And so the devil used this tactic with a twist to try to cause Christ to sin. Now some people wonder why that the devil used that very tactic, and I think there's likely several different commentators said that perhaps it's because that is the exact same tactic that he used in the garden. Adam fell because of eating something he had no license to eat. Amen. Eve fell because of eating something she had no license to eat. Amen. Christ had not been given the Word by the Father to turn those stones into bread. Christ had not been given the Word by the Father to eat as of that time. So if he'd listened to the word of the devil, he would have disobeyed the Word of God. Amen. And Christ overcame the same temptation that Adam fell to. Amen. I think that's very good. I think it's reasonable. Amen. But I also think this, and this is where the avenue I want to deal with primarily today. There's two thoughts in this text primarily that I want to deal with. I think that the devil likes to use common things to tempt us with, things that are easy for us to justify. Now, if the devil was to come to you, Brother Bell, let's say you just got a raise on your job. All your bills are paid. All your Christmas presents are bought, wrapped, and ready to go. Everything's wonderful. And the devil comes to you and says, you know, you ought to rob a bank. What kind of temptation is that? What kind of temptation is that? But let's say you're hungry and your bills are not paid and you don't have food in the pantry, as most of us do, and you're hungry and there sets some food within reach. Now there's a little bit more temptation. And you can justify it. You can justify it. Well, I am hungry. Christ was hungry. Our body needs to eat. Amen. You got to eat. Yeah, that's a good catchphrase. You got to eat. And you got these different ideas that come along. You know, surely I can justify it. I mean, they wouldn't have left that there if anybody wanted it. Apparently nobody wants it. Nobody's looking. Nobody will ever know. The devil will use whatever he can, by the way, that we can justify. And let me just say this. If you push that limit far enough, there'll come a day you can justify anything. Amen. I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned it here, might have mentioned it, it was when I was preaching for Brother Cooper on Thursday night, that I just started reading the Gulag Archipelago, and it's written about Soviet Russia and Stalin as he killed millions. We make a big deal about Hitler killed 6 million, Stalin killed 15 million at one time. And our fine president turned his back because his friends was Stalin. And of course we needed Stalin to help defeat Hitler for a time. But we turned our back on a lot of the things that was going on. And as I'm reading that, I think about those men, and here's what happened. Some of those men that marched their neighbors to death camps justified it, that they were being patriotic. That maybe these people are villains. Maybe these people are what all these stories are made up about. And one after another. And by the way, what Stalin did, exactly what Hitler did, he had useful idiots. He had people that would fall for this. Let's say he'd use Luke against Jesse, and he'd get Luke and Trevor against Jesse. But then down the road, you know what he'd do? He'd use Trevor against Luke. Levi. Amen. I know who you are, just can't remember your name. Amen. Had the right first letter. Amen. He'd use Trevor against Levi by saying, you know, he knows what y'all have done. And they would use one against another. I'm telling you, the devil is a shyster just like that. He'll work in our mind that we will justify. But here's where I was going. Some of those men and some of those women did things unspeakable. They did things there's no way. How in the world can you justify it? But they did justify it. They did justify it. Well, I got a family to feed. Well, I got children involved. Well, I've got this or that or the other, and surely I could get by with this little thing. The devil loves to tempt us with things we can justify. Amen. Christ did need food. He was hungry. He could perform a miracle to provide that food if he wanted to. He was right. All he had to do was say the word. By the way, Christ did miraculously. By the way, I won't use the word magically, because magic's a bad word. It's not a good word. It's never such thing as good magic. It's all bad. Amen. The Bible said, suffer not a witch to live. That doesn't matter. Good witch, bad witch, north, west, south, east. It doesn't matter. Amen. Suffer not a witch to live. Magic's always bad. Christ didn't use magic, but he did miracles. And he miraculously multiplied bread to feed others. But he never performed a miracle to satisfy his own flesh. Never. Him and his disciples, I was thinking about this week. Christ and his disciples walking through a cornfield one Sabbath day. You remember they plucked the corn, rubbed it with their hands, and ate it. Apparently raw. Why did they eat raw corn? Because they was hungry. Christ could have baked it. Christ could have made it popping popcorn on the cob. He could have if he'd wanted to. But he didn't. He didn't perform miracles to satisfy his own flesh. He only performed miracles to help others. Amen. His miracles were always reserved for the aid and comfort of others. Amen. But the tempter will use any circumstance he can to benefit his plan, to further his cause. For example, he will tempt those who have no money to steal, to cheat, and to lie, because they have needs. Amen. Their needs might be met if they just steal or cheat or lie. Amen. Satan will tempt those who do have sufficient money to hoard it up, to worry about it. Amen. To deceive others. Why? Because they have needs, just like poor people do. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it doesn't matter which spectrum you're on, rich or poor. The devil's going to tempt you in some way or another. He's going to use that to tempt you. Amen. He's going to use that. He's going to work on that to try to get you to justify doing what he wants you to do, whatever the case is. Amen. This temptation for Christ to turn stones into bread was not just to fulfill his desire for food, but it was actually to fulfill a real need. Not just for his satisfaction, not just because he lacked bread. Matter of fact, the devil didn't say, turn these stones into cake. That would be food that you don't necessarily need, you just enjoy. He didn't say, just enjoy this. By the way, the devil does say to us a lot of times, you ought to just enjoy that. He'll tempt us with joy. But if we can't get us with joy, he'll just try to get us on basic need. He said, turn these stones into bread, because the body actually does need food. Amen. I believe it shows one of the devil's favorite techniques, and one that He has perfected down through the centuries by multiple applications. He introduces to us a genuine need, and then He twists that with desire. Not just a need, but a want. Amen. And then He'll recommend as a duty. Are you listening? A duty. Well, you deserve that. Well, you know that'd be the right thing to do. And you'll work that in your mind and work around a path to get you down that road. I've said this before. I'll say it again. In any regularity, very few times in my life have I ever visited a car lot. I'm talking about a new car lot. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I know that I can't afford a new car. But I know there's fellows there that get paid to convince me that I do need a new car and that I can afford it. And He's got a way of working that calculator, and He can prove it on paper, pen and ink paper. He can prove to me what I know is not the fact. So the best thing for me to do is to stay away from it. Amen. Best thing for me to do is just to know that I can't and say, I'll stay away from it. But what He'll do is He'll say, you know, you need a car. You don't just need a car. Boy, wouldn't you like to have one with all the bells and whistles? And it moves from need to desire. And then all of a sudden, well, you know, it's a duty. I mean, it's a duty. I mean, everybody ought to have at least two or three cars. I mean, just in case your wife needs to be when you're gone already. I mean, and by the way, that I can see that. But there was a time we didn't necessarily have it that way. But the devil will twist these things and say, you know, and I'm not saying it's wrong for you to have two, but then all of a sudden he say, well, you know, you ought to have three, you ought to have four, you ought to have five. And if you're not careful, he'll get you way over what you can afford. Amen. And he'll get you in a place that if you're not careful, I'll just say it this way. If you're not careful, you'll worship that thing that was just a need because it has become a desire. That's true. He works. That's some of His ability to work. He takes that which is a genuine need and He twists it into a desire and He recommends it as a duty. For example, Eve was introduced to that forbidden fruit. God said to Adam, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, any tree of the garden, all the trees of the garden, except that one. And the devil said, Eve, you need to look at this one. This is the one you need to look at. Amen. He used his advertising technique to get her to looking at that particular food. And then he introduced it, suggested to her, you know, this will do something that you, not only that you need, but wouldn't you like to be smarter? Don't you think Eve had got tired of Adam saying, you're the dumbest woman I ever seen? No, he probably said, you're the smartest woman I ever seen. She's the only woman he'd ever seen. But the devil says, wouldn't you like to be smarter? Wouldn't you like for people to look up to you? And on and on and on this thing goes. I told Joshua yesterday that was coming back and listening to the Penny Round Perspectives and the thing that was talking about that gambling. And they didn't really introduce that gambling casino in Oak Grove. They didn't say a lot about that. They will in days to come. But he's just talking about the gambling industry and making new inroads and new things like that. And talking about how that when people, especially you take these young soldier boys down there at Fort Campbell that already have a hard time. They're not getting paid much. Amen. Especially when you consider how well we're paying these foolish ball players. We won't pay these fellas that's going to protect our borders. Amen. Protect our nation. Amen. Protect our citizens. God help us. There's something wrong with that whole mentality, but they're already suffering want. They're already having all kinds of trouble, and they're going to siphon money away from them. They're going to steal money away from them. But here's what they'll do when they get down so low. They're preying on the fact that you really need to hit it big. This is your only chance to hit it big. That's your only chance. They prey on their need, but they also prey on their pride. Everybody, by the way, if you hit it big, the only way you can hit it big is for everybody else to lose big. And the pride part is this. You can be a winner and everybody else are losers. You're not a loser. They said, and I haven't heard the slogan, but they said the slogan for the Kentucky Lottery is, somebody's got to win. Why not you? Well, why don't they tell you, most people are losers. Why not you? Amen. They say you got a better chance walking out in the parking lot and getting struck by lightning than you do winning the lottery. Matter of fact, you got a better chance walking out in the parking lot getting struck by lightning, walking back in the building, getting struck by lightning again in the building than you do winning the lottery. Amen. Amen. But the devil will twist that thing. I didn't mean to get off on the lottery thing, but we ought to be against it. By the way, I got the petition. If you hadn't signed the petition, you ought to sign the petition against it. Amen. Amen. Anyway, the devil will use that and twist that to get you to, he'll play with anything he can. The need, the pride that gets in that. You ought to have the nicest house. You ought to have the nicest car. You ought to have the nicest things. That's what the devil says. Gets to working on the pride. Amen. Well, amen. He used that on Eve, and I believe it's one of his favorite and most effective temptations. Notice that the deceiver, speaking to Christ now, he introduces a need. You are hungry. You do need food. You can get food. I want you to notice this. I want you to pay attention. The devil did not say, pray for bread. He did not say, ask your father for bread. Amen. By the way, when trouble comes to you, you get a phone call, you get a bill in the mail, whatever the case, trouble comes to you, the first impulse the devil does not say, pray. He says, worry. What are you going to do? And if he can, he'll tell you, take it into your own hands and work this thing out and do it yourself some way. Amen. That's exactly what he does. He does not say that Christ should pray for food. He does not say that Christ should ask his Father even that the stones be turned into bread. Oh, no, no. He uses this same tactic that he uses with Eve. Put out your hand and take it yourself. That's the second point. Not only does he twist things and he does things that we can justify, but he'll also use things that we can lay our hands on ourselves. He usually uses things that are within our reach. I used Brother Bell in the illustration about being tempted to rob the bank. I don't know how many times he's ever been tempted to rob the bank. More than likely, it's not when he was away from the bank. More than likely, it's when he's in the bank. Amen. And they've already got the vault door open and you can smell that green cash over there. No. But this is my point, is that a lot of the sins that we are tempted with, we do ourselves a favor to stay away from them. And we wouldn't be nearly as tempted as we do when we're in the midst of them. Amen. Best thing to do is stay away from that crowd. Amen. I don't know if you heard Brother Leland Frazier's message probably on Thursday. I heard it when he preached it at Faith Baptist Camp. We was there when he preached it, but I forgot this statement. But he's talking about these women in the jail that they go and preach at, and that they got some women that go and teach the women. And he's talking about how they came to him on Wednesday night, maybe on service. Anyway, they said this one lady, they called her name, is getting out on Friday. And she said she's going to come to church on Sunday. He said, we shouted her out. Boy, we was all excited about she's going to come to church on Sunday. And this lady's going to drive up on the mountain to go get her. Only she didn't come. She didn't come. And he said, on Sunday evening, the woman called her, or sometime later, the woman called her and said, you know, you told me when I was in jail, you told me to stay away from those friends and that crowd I was running with. And I said I would, but I didn't. She said, I got back up with them, and the law is already looking for me again. That's what she said. And here's what he said, and he's right. Because she won't get away from that crowd, she's going to go right back to the same things she is doing and the same place she is doing it. She's going to get locked up in the same place, all that kind of stuff. Amen. I'm telling you, one of the best things you can do is stay away from things you know are tempting. Amen. Stay away from those places and those things that you know are tempting. He insinuated that Christ should take matters seriously. into his own hand, command that these stones be made bread. Again, the same tactic that he used on Eve to trick her. First, admire the fruit. Don't admire it.
Amen.
Admire the forbidden fruit. Then he stroked her emotions and he said, desire. Move from admiring to desiring the forbidden fruit. Amen. Then he tempted her to obtain that forbidden fruit. Amen. Our Lord, I personally believe, was humbling himself in fasting and prayer. David talked about in the Psalms, humbling his soul with fasting. I believe our Lord was in that wilderness, in that time, humbling himself by fasting. Amen. He was taking his place among men, doing without those benefits that he could have had. He was allowing Satan himself to tempt him. This is, I believe, is symbolically representing what Isaiah prophesied that he'd do in Isaiah 50 verse 6, that he said, I gave my back to the smiters. I gave my back. They didn't get it without me giving it to them. I gave my back to the smiters. Christ came down here and allowed Satan to tempt him, allowed Satan to throw his darts at him. And part of this hungering was part of his giving Satan the opportunity to do his best or to do his worst to try to get Christ to fall. Amen. Satan provoked Christ by not suggesting that he ask for bread as a humble man would do, but that he command bread as a proud man would do. I said it before and it's so right. The devil loves to use our own pride against us. I don't think Christ had pride. I'm not saying, because that would have been a sin. Amen. But the devil did his best to put pride out there and to, rather than being humble, to be haughty. Amen. Amen. God loves humility, but he resists the proud, the Bible says. Amen. He resists the proud. God blesses humility, but God hates pride. And so the devil resists and works against humility, and he doesn't even suggest asking for it. He says, demand it, command it, force it to be so. Amen. Tempting him towards pride. Amen. In this instance of Christ's temptation, Satan tempts him to divert from dependence upon his Father to self-sufficiency in his own self. God wants Christ and us to trust Him. God the Father wanted Christ and us to wait on Him. The enemy of our soul says you can't trust God and you can't wait on God any longer. The devil says take command of the situation yourself. Do something about it yourself. That's what the devil says. Amen. Amen. This temptation to make stones into bread, I believe, is one of frequent occurrence. I preached a message here back in 16, I believe, on the principle of allowing the stones to remain stones, not forcing something to happen that you can force it. I believe all of God's children have experienced times when the devil says, take matters into your own hands. Amen. There are, let me say, that's not saying that we have the ability to turn stones into bread, but sometimes we do have the ability to get out of the will of God by our own self, trying to fix things ourselves. Amen. Amen. There are times in our lives, there's places on our spiritual journey, we find ourselves in need. Amen. Amen. Not just desire, not just wanting more, in an actual need. We are in the will of God. Our need's not because of sin and rebellion. We're following the leadership of the Holy Ghost. We're in this wilderness, led of the Spirit, not walking in the flesh. And yet we're in need. Serving God honorably, and yet we find ourselves in a place of need. Amen. I know the Moses family sitting here, they're in this place. I know that. And I didn't pick this message for them. Maybe God picked them for this message today. Amen. But they're here. But every one of us face this. There's times maybe you get between jobs, as they say. Amen. You don't, and fellows that are self-employed, there's a constant thought of being between jobs. Amen. You got one that you're working on, and it's going to come to an end somewhere. Where's the next one going to come from? And sometimes we find ourselves in that place, and the devil will say, take matters into your own hand. Maybe you've got financial pressures that are rising on you. Amen. A lot of things could be happening. Maybe you're in physical pain. You got different problems that just rise up. You know what the devil will do? He'll tempt you to command that these stones be made bread. Amen. Amen. Sometimes in these cases we find ourselves sitting down in the wilderness amid stones and thorns, and we are hungry and we are thirsty. We have a real need. It shouldn't be surprising to us then when the devil comes up and says something like, can God really care about you and allow you to be in this place? Can you really be a child of God and God leave you here to starve? God leave you here to suffer want? It's in those times when Satan whispers to us, command that these stones be made bread. Amen. I wrote some things down here that we can do. I said we can't make inanimate stones turn into bread, but there are things we can do. For example, the devil might say, if you would tell little quote-unquote white lies, if you would flatter more, you could get that job you want. Amen. If you just flatter a little bit more, you could get that promotion that you want. If you were not so honest, if you just swindle and deceive a little bit, maybe you'd actually get wealthy one of these days. That's what the devil says. The devil will say, well, it wouldn't really be wrong to steal and thereby save yourself from this famine and this starvation and this want. The devil says you could play the lottery, you could gamble a little and possibly win a pile of cash. Somebody's got to win. Why not you? That's what the devil says. Amen. The devil says, you know, if you weren't so faithful to church, you could take a job that works on the Lord's day and you wouldn't have to be so poor. Amen. You could take a job doing things that you know is not right and you wouldn't have to be so poor. Then the devil says, you know, you got to look out for old number one. Amen. Quit being so Christ-like. So fuddy-duddy. In all these whisperings, Satan is saying, command that these stones be made bread. Amen. I'll say this, and I'm almost done. We ought to let the stones remain stones. Expect our bread from Him who has promised to furnish a table for us in the wilderness. Amen. Expect our bread from Him. He has all that we need. One fellow said it this way, I think he's right. He said, wouldn't it be better to suffer hunger in the name of Christ than to feast in the name of the devil? Amen. Be better to suffer hunger in the name of Christ than to feast in the name of the devil. Amen. I believe this, if God's got you in a place of want, He's got a purpose for it. When that purpose is fulfilled, by the way, it might be for you or it might even be for others that are watching you. Amen. But when His purpose is fulfilled, God will work things in accordance to His will and accordance to His decree. He's got a plan. Amen. And we'll just stay faithful to Him. He's got a purpose for allowing His child to go without. Amen. He's got a purpose for allowing them to suffer want. Don't let Satan get in your mind and cause you to sabotage the very plan God's got for your life. Amen. God's got the best plan. Remember that your Father in heaven knows and does what's best. Amen. Amen. He's working all things for our good, all things for His glory. But the enemy of your soul that's whispering those things in your ears, he's got a plan too. And it's not for your good. And it's not for God's glory. Amen. We do best to quit listening to the devil and go to calling on God. When the devil starts whispering, I'll tell you what you do. You start praying. Amen. Start praying. There are Christians that have suffered persecutions.
that have suffered ridicule. Amen. I got a call one day this week. Brother Gray called me. Brother Joel Gray called me. Told me that a missionary that we had supported in North Carolina, Brother Emmanuel Onyemka, we'd supported him probably 20 years or more, in Nigeria, he's from Nigeria, died of advanced, rapid prostate cancer. Never was even checked. Never saw it coming. Never knew it. Brother Onyemka had fled to America years ago. When I first met him, he'd fled to America because the Muslims in Nigeria had threatened to kill him because of young people getting saved in some of their youth meetings. He fled to America to escape the Muslims. His wife and children still in Nigeria. He's in America. He's living at a church in Georgia. They were putting him up, taking care of him. He was going to school. He was working to get a better education. His idea was get a good job, move his family to America. This, I'll just tell you how he said it. Brother Hall, I met him first at Faith Baptist Camp. You might have been there when he was speaking, so you may remember some of this, but he told us that vision as well as there. In his mind, coming to America from Nigeria is the same as going to heaven. He said, we thought of America as heaven. He said, they actually thought everybody in America is a Christian. America is a Christian nation. He landed in New York City. He said it didn't take him long to realize everybody in America are not Christians. Amen. I could go through. He told a long story. It's good. But he said he's working and he's in school and he's working on trying to get his family here. He's writing letters to his wife and talking about how one of these days we'll be together. And he said, we'll be together in heaven and then it'll really be heaven. America will really be heaven then. And he said in his prayer one day, the Lord spoke to his heart and said, I don't want you to bring your family to America. And I don't want you to stay in America. I want you to go back to Nigeria to tell other people how they can go to the real heaven. And he said it's one of the hardest things he ever done. I don't remember if he called his wife or wrote his wife to say to her, honey, there's been a change in our plans. God, if I could say it this way, God's thrown a wrench in our plans. It wasn't God's will that Emmanuel Onyemka have a nice house, sleep on a nice bed, enjoy nice things. Do you remember how old he was when he was at our house? It was his birthday. He was staying with us and staying in our house. Joshua, do you remember? Okay. Whatever. He was a grown man. He was older than me, and so he's an old man. But he had never had a birthday cake. Never had had a birthday cake. I found out about it, and I had my wife fix him a birthday cake. You ought to have seen him. I mean, he just rejoiced. We didn't have a whole lot of money at the time. But things were pretty tight with us. We didn't have the money actually to go buy the stuff to get a cake. I told her, find something in the shelf. Only thing she could find was devil's food cake. Which is my favorite anyway. Nah, I'm kidding. But we fixed that. I mean, he just wept. And when he prayed, I asked him to pray. He prayed over the cake. Oh, I mean, he prayed heaven down. Brother Kearney made me feel about that. He said, Lord, he said, you've been so good to me. Here you let me stay with these people and they're honoring me on my birthday with this angel's food cake. That's what he called it. He wouldn't let us call it devil's food cake. I didn't have a heart to tell him I like devil's food cake better than I do angel's food cake. But he got all excited about that cake. Wasn't God's will that he have all the blessings that we have every day and take for granted. That wasn't God's will. It's God's will he go back to Nigeria and live in want. And live really in danger because the Muslims still there. Amen. Live in danger. Raise his family in that. But point people to Christ. I'm just simply saying, you and I, the devil will tell you, oh, you deserve to have it good. That might not be God's will for us all the time. Amen. I hear people say all the time, they use this argument, for sin. Oh, I know he's not supposed to marry her. He's already got a wife. But I just want him to be happy. How about, well, I know he's not supposed to marry him, but I just want him to be happy. What's the difference? He's not supposed to be a bank robber, but I just want him to be happy. God don't always want us to be happy. Amen. Sometimes we have to be hungry in the will of God. Amen. Sometimes we have to do without in the will of God rather than put it in our hand, justify it of our means, because the justification doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil. Because the fact that it's there at our hand didn't come from God. It comes from the devil. Now, Christ didn't starve to death. You know that. The Father did take care of him. The angels came and ministered unto him. Amen. God's got the means to meet your need if you'll trust Him. That's what I'm saying. Trust Him. Don't listen to the devil. The devil's a tempter. Amen. Amen. Well, it's interesting to me that the devil said, if thou be the Son of God. Can I paraphrase it and just show you what the devil's saying? If thou be the Son of God, listen to me and take advice from me. Don't listen to your father and take advice from your father. That's absurd. But that's really what he was saying. If thou be the Son of God. Well, if anybody ought not pay attention to the devil, it's a son of God. If anybody ought not bow down to the devil, it's a son of God. If anybody ought to resist temptation, it's a child of God. Amen. If anybody ought to live holy and godly in this present world, it's a child of God. Amen. So we ought to obey God rather than the devil, or even rather than man. Amen. Amen. Psalm 37. Let me read you this text, and I'm almost done. He says, Psalm 37:23. You know it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The next verse, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Amen. If you are a child of God, you may fall. But remember, God knows where you're at. And underneath are the everlasting arms. If you fall, where are you falling? You're falling on the arms of God. You're falling. Don't fall into the hands of the devil. Fall in the will of God. If you suffer, suffer as a Christian. That's what Peter talked about. Don't suffer as an evildoer. Amen. Amen. Psalm 34, verse 7. I put it in the bulletin this morning. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Amen. What's Satan's goal for you and I? Listen, here's one thing about sin. I need to say this. Yeah, I need to. One thing about sin is it may start with bread, but it won't end there.
Right.
If you start listening to the devil about little things, they'll get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the bonds go from handcuffs to shackles, hand and foot. Amen. It goes, it just keeps escalating. The workings of the devil. When he hooks you, he just keeps winding you in. I used the illustration of fishing the other week. And that when you hook that fish, if he's two, you're winding him in. And this is a massive one. Massive, biggest one you ever seen that didn't get away. I mean, there's been bigger ones, but they got away. Amen. But here's the biggest one you ever seen. And you get him up there, and if he's too big for you to pick him up by that hook and just put in, you know what you'll do? You'll get a net and you'll scoop him up. And it'll work. That's what the devil does. The devil hooks you and then he'll pull you right into the net. He'll encompass you. He'll do his best that you are not getting away. He'll do his best. I'm simply saying this. Do as our Lord did. Stop him at first base. Don't start down that road of listening to the devil. Amen. Don't start down that road. Oh, but preacher, I can quit anytime I want to. Whatever that sin is, I don't care what it is. I can quit anytime I want to. You better be careful. There's a lot of people wanting to that can't quit. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. The devil wants to tempt God's children not to trust the Father. He wants to tempt God's children to justify what He has asked them to do. And he wants to tempt God's children to reach out their hand and take that which is within their grasp rather than waiting on God, rather than praying and asking God for direction. The devil never said, pray. The devil never said, ask. The devil said, command. Heavenly Father, help us not to be proud. Help us not to be haughty. Help us not to give heed to the devil. Lord, help us to evermore seek to be the humble child of God that asks you for our next step, that trusts you for our next meal, that waits for you for our next orders, that we would be obedient in that which you've given us to do. Help us that we would resist the devil, that we wouldn't even admire that which he's showing us. Therefore, we wouldn't desire that which he's showing us. Father, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our eyes on thee, and our feet firmly on the Word of God. Work in people's lives, Lord. I know there's temptations abounding in our world today. And there's more than one family here today that are suffering under the onslaught of the devil, no doubt in my mind. Lord, I pray, give them victory. Help them to keep trusting God, and you get the glory. We'll thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Some's already come to pray. If you need to, you obey the Lord and do what He says while we sing.